Chapter 2. The Jedi Temple? Cody asks, startled. With you? Wolf rolls his eyes skyward in an expression of long-suffering patience that Cody does not appreciate having directed at him. There another temple you frequent on Coruscant? I don't frequent the Jedi Temple either, Cody retorts, maybe a little more bristly than he should be.
But Wolf's just got one of those charming personalities.
Didn't think you did either, Vod. Wolf grimaces faintly. General Kuhn has a tendency to get stuck in council meetings, he says. Or the archives. And Wolf's had to go and get him, Cody thinks, amused at the image of Wolf in full armor stalking around asking Jedi younglings for directions. Commander Tano and General Skywalker usually keep General Kenobi out of trouble like that, he says, voice pitched to Carrie. Good thing, too, or he'd never leave the temple.
I can hear you,
Obi-Wan calls back, perfectly poised, from across the room. He's ostensibly teaching Rex how to meditate, but so far the only lesson Cody's gotten via eavesdropping is in how many surreptitious glances two oblivious idiots can fit into one conversation. Hear what, sir? Cody asks innocently. Is something wrong, General? Obi-Wan opens one eye to give him a look that translates to roughly, I am disappointed in every life choice you have ever made, and potentially those your children will make. It would have a hell of a lot more clout if Cody hadn't gotten it last time when he caught Obi-Wan shuffling his way out of the medical bay, holding an intent conversation with his left hand. Sleep deprivation and hallucinogens apparently aren't a great mix. Cody picked up from that. Not that he's about to test it. He has his Jedi to make bad decisions for him. There is also, of course, no answer forthcoming. Obi-Wan sneaks one more look at Rex in his loose sweats, closes his eyes, and goes back to meditating. He's just in time to miss the way Rex opens an eye to look at his face, and Cody rolls his own eyes so hard they hurt, and decides that even letting Wolf drag him around the Jedi Temple will be far superior to watching this slow-motion freighter wreck of a courtship. Now? He asks Wolf, who nods shortly. Someone I want you to meet, he says, jerking his head towards the door. And with a touch of bemusement, Cody takes the hint, getting to his feet and pushing his chair back in. Debates for a moment whether or not he should take his armor. But the 212th is on leave and has been given strict orders to actually rest. Not that it seems to have made an impression on Wolf, even though Cody knows the Wolf Pack got the same orders.
What, you run into a pretty droid in the refectory?
He asks, even as he follows Wolf out. General Kuhn pick up a new youngling wandering around the last planet you were deployed on? It might be Cody's imagination, but he's pretty sure Wolf mutters, I wish. He doesn't respond to Cody's raised eyebrow, though. Just heads for the speeder parked on the landing pad. There's a Jedi Order insignia on the side, and Cody has no idea when Wolf got in good enough with the Order to just start borrowing their vehicles. But he starts it with an air of familiarity as Cody settles in. Taking me somewhere secret? He asks pointedly. But Wolf just gives him a look like his intelligence is lacking and sweeps them out into traffic. There's a little jostling, one distinct bump, an angry shout, and Cody winces and grabs onto the edge of the speeder, keeping his eyes fixed forward. The converted barracks for the Gar are at the very edge of the Federal District, and even from here Cody can see the five spires crowning the temple, the steady hum of light traffic around it. I'm pretty sure Jedi don't just let people in unless they're taking vows, he says, watching Wolf for a response. All he gets is a faint roll of Wolf's eyes, though.
I have a pass, he says, unimpressed. And instead of heading for the wide processional way and the main entrance, the only way Cody's ever entered the temple, on the occasions when he's needed to brief the High Council or find Obi-Wan in an emergency, he cuts towards the northeastern corner and then up past the wide, slanting body of the temple itself. There's a landing pad for ground vehicles a little over halfway up, and Wolf sets the speeder down there, then swings out, nodding to a female Mon Calamari in Jedi robes. She nods back, ushering her group of preteen initiates towards a mechanics area near the far corner of the pad, and Cody offers the younglings a wave. Several wave back, apparently delighted to do so, and Cody can't help but grin as the Jedi Master shakes her head and laughs, shooing her charges forward. Commander Tano's only a few years older, Wolf observes quietly, and the flicker of warmth in Cody's chest dies a sharp, cold death. Criff, Wolf's right, and Cody's seen Ahsoka struggle with being a leader, but it's hard to connect her, serious and deadly and clever, to these little kids. If the war goes on long enough, they'll probably get dragged into the fighting too. You're in a cheerful mood today, he tells Wolf, maybe a touch sourly, as he follows him towards the doors into the temple proper. There's a pause as Wolf takes the criticism, digests it, then a soft exhale, too quiet to be a sigh. Wolf looks away, and part of that is to punch a code into the reader, but part of it isn't. Sorry, he says curtly. The last deployment went to shit. Since Wolf's on search and rescue, Cody doesn't doubt he and his men get shoved into the worst situations and places on a sliver of hope they can get something non-tragic out of the aftermath. With a sympathetic grimace, he bumps his shoulder against Wolf's, where their pauldrons would normally be, and doesn't say anything. Some faint hint of tension eases out of Wolf's frame, and he doesn't acknowledge the action, but it's enough. Pass into the Jedi Temple, huh? Cody asks instead, because there's a chance he's something of an asshole. I was joking about the pretty droid, but if you really did meet one, it's my responsibility as your brother. Wolf kicks him in the ankle, and without armored boots, it hurts like a motherfucker. Shut up, he says over Cody's hiss. General Plo authorized me. Cody also serves a member of the High Council, but he's not walking around with an invitation into the temple interior. Scowling at Wolf's back, he asks, you really have to dig him out of the archives that often? Or the creche? Wolf's long-suffering expression says everything. Cody snorts, but takes a few quick steps to fall in beside him. The halls are more than wide enough. Long and tall and sweeping, full of wide windows. There's a hush to everything, but it's a warm kind of hush, settled, easy. Cody doesn't feel like he's breaking rules just by breathing, the way he has in some places. There are Jedi here, too, a handful in the halls, with more in the training cells as they pass. More in the gardens, Wolf leads him around. It's all quiet, peaceful. It's a reminder that Jedi were peacekeepers before the war. Monks, really, for all their abilities. Hard to remember sometimes that the Jedi are a religious order that just happens to serve the Republic, but being here brings it into focus. Didn't realize there were so many Jedi in residence, Cody murmurs, as they pass another knot of younglings. These ones hissing at each other as they go over bookwork. They don't look up, but Azabrak in knight's robes nods to them as she passes, most of her attention on the data pad in her hands. Main temple, Wolf says shortly. This is where they come for research, or to heal. He turns, heading down another hall, towards a lift, just as a familiar Togruta approaches. And Shaak Ti smiles warmly at them. Commander Cody, Commander Wolf, she offers, bowing her head. It's a pleasure to see you looking well.
Cody was trained well before General T started overseeing the Kamino facilities, but all he's ever heard from Shinies is how perfect she is, how much she cares about every clone who passes through training. More than one brother's come out of Kamino with stars in his eyes over Shakti, and from what he's seen of her, Cody can't even blame them. He gives her a salute and says, General T,
just master here, Shuck says firmly, but kindly. Titles like that have no place in the temple.
She steps into the lift with them, folding her hands in her sleeves as it starts to move, and smiles at Wolf.
Come to retrieve Plo again? He was in the refectory this morning, I believe.
He actually ate?
Plo mutters, and Shuck hides a laugh behind her hand.
He did, she confirms. Mostly, I believe he and Master Nu were debating something over breakfast.
From Wolf's grimace, debate is a polite word for it. Cody smothers a grin, because he knows the feeling of trying to ride herd on a Jedi, but at least Wolf's general doesn't fling himself off balconies to fall headlong through Coruscanti traffic, or flirt with Ventress when she's trying to gut him. So in Cody's opinion, he's getting off easy.
At least he slept, Wolf says, resigned.
And Cody kind of wants to ask Wolf how he knows that, but it's probably impolite in front of Shuck. He keeps his mouth shut with an effort, but Wolf's sideways glance says he knows Cody far too well and hears the comment anyway.
Back from Kamino for long, Master T?
Cody asks to distract him, and Shuck shakes her head with a faintly rueful expression.
I came to deliver a report to the council in person, she says. I'll be returning to Kamino immediately. There are many things I need to ask Nala Se, and I'm afraid it's better done directly rather than over calm.
That touch of steel in her voice is mildly alarming. Cody exchanges glances with Wolf, who's frowning more deeply, and asks,
Master T?
Shuck just smiles.
It needn't concern you or your brothers yet, she says,
and as the lift hums to a stop, she inclines her head to them.
May the Force keep you well, in battle and out of it, commanders.
Stay safe, Master T. Cody returns after a moment.
Good luck, Wolf says.
And Shuck looks at both of them for a long moment, expression one Cody can't even begin to decipher. Then, finally, she curls her hands together and bows to them.
The Jedi Order is better for your existence, commanders, she says gently, though I wish it could have come about under other circumstances.
With a sweep of long skirts, she turns, heading down the hall. Halfway down, a brother in armor, Kama striped with red, falls in beside her, and she smiles at Colt, slowing slightly so he can keep up. The commander tips his helmet towards her, then offers Wolf and Cody a salute before he and the general disappear around a corner. Silently, the lift doors slide closed, and Cody stares at them for a moment. That sounded like a problem with the Kaminoans, he thinks uneasily, and curls his hands behind his back, trying to breathe through the worry that flickers. Kamino is their homeworld, or something like it. Cody doesn't have a lot of attachment to the Kaminoans themselves, but the planet is where they were raised, and it's where there are still hundreds of thousands of cadets in waiting. If something's happened? Shuck said yet, and in Cody's experience, that never bodes well.
Never a quiet cycle, Wolf mutters,
looking the furthest thing from pleased, and Cody huffs quietly in agreement.
Universe wouldn't want us to get bored, he agrees sardonically,
and Wolf snorts. It's not all bad, though. Cody supposes,
Shock's words about being glad they exist were unexpected, but appreciated. It's not a thing Cody has thought about much, how the Jedi see them. But the clones were made for the Jedi. Knowing that the loyalty is returned is, well, nice doesn't seem to be anywhere close to enough. But it's the only word Cody can come up with. He wastes a few long moments trying to imagine how things would go if the Republic wasn't at war, if Jedi didn't need to lead whole battalions into battle. Maybe the clones could be guards or accompany Jedi on their missions. Peacekeepers like the Jedi, and Cody's only never known war, but it has to end someday, and he wonders what will become of them then. Not citizens. They're clones, and he's seen the Senate discuss them. Tools to be used. And it makes Cody angry if he thinks about it too long. But at the same time, he can be content, somewhat. The war gives them other things to worry about, at the very least. "Do I get to know where we're going now?" he asks Wolf dryly, and gets ignored. A moment later, the doors open again, and Wolf steps out on a floor Cody's never visited before. The long, wide corridors branching out in graceful curves. There's a balcony to the north, wide and covered in greenery and fountains, and Cody can see Jedi among the vegetables, calm and easy as they work. On the other side of the hall, doors stand closed, some with privacy lights on. Personal quarters, Cody thinks in surprise. This must be a residential floor. Wolf seems to know where he's going, too. His steps don't so much as pause as he makes his way down the hall, then left through another. A set of steps at the end of the corridor lead up to another section, this one seemingly deserted. There's only one door with a privacy light, indistinguishable from all the rest. But Wolf stops in front of it and presses the chime. A moment later, the door hisses open, and Cody blinks, startled. He'd expected Plo Koon, not the sudden appearance of General Windu, straight and stern in the doorway.
"Commander Wolf," Mace says formally. "Commander Cody, thank you for joining us."
He steps back, letting them through, and Cody follows Wolf inside with complete and utter bemusement. This isn't anything close to what he'd thought.
"Wolf, there you are,"
Plo says serenely, and waves a languid hand at his commander, gesturing for him to take a seat.
"I had thought you might have gotten lost."
Wolf doesn't look impressed, and he also doesn't sit down, but chooses to stand next to his general instead, arms folded over his chest.
"General T caught us in the lift," he said. "Sorry, sir."
"Don't be," Plo says, eyes crinkling. "Shock is very fond of you and your brothers." "The men are well? Resting?"
Shock isn't the only one, Cody thinks, amused, and flicks a glance around the room. There's a wide window, a few plants, and a handful of decorations, but the quarters otherwise look identical to Obi-Wan's. Austere, Cody thinks. They're not Plo's, because the Kel-Dor has rooms with an atmosphere like his homeworld, so he can take his mask off in them. Mace's, then, most likely. Though the only sign of it is Mace's lightsaber with its distinctive hilt lying on a table near the window.
"There's food if you'd like, Commander,"
Mace says quietly, passing him for the small kitchen area.
"And calf, though I'd advise you to keep it away from Plo."
Cody isn't pawns with his uncanny, nearly supernatural sense of when Mace is joking. Eyeing the general carefully, Cody decides that he probably is, and follows him into the kitchen, more for something to do than because he's hungry.
"Thank you, sir."
There's a flicker of something suspicious rising, a wariness he can't quite stop. Obi-Wan hadn't known Wolf was taking him to meet Generals Windu and Koon. He would have given Cody at least some kind of warning. Wolf didn't tell anyone where they were going, not in any place they might have been overheard. And that reeks of far more caution than would seem necessary, particularly in the Jedi Temple. Just to test the theory, Cody takes the cup Mace offers him and asks, "Is General Kenobi going to be joining us?" Mace gives him a look he can't read, pouring a cup of tea that smells unnervingly like mud for himself. It pools gray-green in the cup, and Cody looks at it in askance, but refrains from saying anything. Maybe weird teas are a Jedi tradition. Force knows Obi-Wan drinks enough of them.
"No," Mace says after a long moment. "This is a discussion I had hoped to keep between the four of us. No one outside this room is aware we're meeting."
Right. That's what Cody was afraid of. He glances back at the sofa, studying Plo and Wolf for a moment, then glances at Mace again. Pons isn't here, he realizes belatedly, even though Cody knows he's on planet right now. Whatever's going on, Mace is keeping his own commander out of things, and that's carking suspicious.
"A discussion about what, General?" he asks evenly.
"About Anakin, maybe? He's always complained that Mace is out to get him on some level. But Cody's always thought that was about the same as him complaining about Obi-Wan, which he never really means."
"About you," Plo says, folding his four-fingered hands in his lap. "And also about your brothers. Your future in the Republic as well."
He looks serene, but there's a subtle tell in the straightness of his spine. Tension, Cody thinks, and flicks a glance at Wolf. His brother doesn't look like he's any more clued in to what's going on than Cody is, though, and all he offers is a faint shrug.
"That's a lot for one conversation," Cody says after a moment, picks through potential responses, and then adds carefully, "Seems like a conversation you could have with any clone commander, sir." "No titles," Mace says quietly. "Not for this conversation. In this room, you are of equal rank and have equal say, Cody. Wolf as well. Regardless of your reaction, there won't be any consequences."
Yeah, that's not nearly as comforting as it's probably intended to be. Cody studies Mace for a long moment. Only Mace, since he's not able to read Keldor features as well as human. And Mace usually looks as serious as a heart attack, but right now there's something almost wary in his expression, too. Cody isn't sure whether that makes him feel better or worse.
"Sounds to me like you're dragging me into a plot to overthrow the Chancellor," he says dryly, and sets his calf aside to fold his arms over his chest. "I'm gonna go out on a limb and assume that's not what's happening."
Mace makes a sound of quiet amusement, features lightening for just a moment.
"No," he says, equally dry. "That wasn't on the agenda for today. We'll have to schedule it in later."
He crosses out into the main room, leaning over the low, cluttered table for a moment, and straightens up, holding a data pad.
"Cody, are you aware that the Senate has been rejecting proposed votes on citizenship for all its clone soldiers?"
It takes a second for Cody to find his voice.
"Yeah, it's been on the net a couple of times now."
Mace inclines his head.
"And did you know," he says quietly, "that in previous generations, the Jedi were able to bring members of non-Republic planets into full citizenship through a clause in our charter with the Senate?"
Cody can't help himself. He raises a brow at Mace, faintly incredulous.
"No," he says blandly. "I'm not exactly caught up on the intricacies of Jedi initiation law. Didn't realize there was gonna be a test."
With a quiet snort, Mace offers him the pad.
"It's open book," he promises.
Cody feels a flicker of amusement, even as he takes the pad and scans the first section. It's a dense, technical bit of legal wording, talking about kin and rights and acceptance into the temple, And Cody frowns. It doesn't read like a guide for Jedi taking in non-Republic younglings, but he can't figure out what else it could be. I feel like I should have a translator, he says. Or a lawyer. Mace, what is this about?
About how all the clone troopers call each other brother, Plo says softly, making you all kin under Mandalorian law, and potentially about how we can take advantage of that link to sidestep the need for a full Senate vote on clone citizenship.
You're going to try and circumvent the whole Senate? Cody asks, disbelieving. The Chancellor has final say, though, and if he's refused to acknowledge a vote...
Ah, Plo says, smiling behind his mask. But this clause simply needs the approval of the Master of the Order and is exempt from Senate oversight. After all, the Chancellor has no business telling the Jedi who to marry.
Plo, Mace says, reproving, and looks at Cody. Cody tries to focus, but his brain is still stuck and spinning on that last word. Marry. Who the hell is a Jedi going to marry? The whole code forbids it. Marry? Cody manages after a moment and meets Mace's dark eyes.
Yes, Mace says,
precisely, deftly. He holds Cody's gaze, unflinching.
Plo and I found a way to make sure clones are granted full rights, but to make it work, a clone needs to marry a Jedi, preferably both high-ranking, with large amounts of visibility in the public.
Marry a Jedi? Cody swallows and finally manages to look at Wolf again. It's little comfort that Wolf looks startled too, eyes his general with something that Cody can't read in his gaze. And this is a secret? He asks, after a long minute of silence, the words not quite right in his mouth.
Aren't political marriages common?
But this can't be a political marriage, Plo says, tapping his claws together lightly. Otherwise, it would open up challenges to the Charter and its standing in regards to the current interpretations of the Code.
He pauses, deliberate, and then adds, faintly amused,
a love match, however, in defiance of tradition, but strong enough to overcome all obstacles. Well, there are few ways more assured to win public support. Everyone adores a love story.
A love story? They mean a charade, unless Cody's been missing a hell of a lot about Wolf and Plo's relationship. A charade that can fool the entire Republic. All of the Senate, and the Chancellor himself. All of the Jedi Order, too, it seems, from the way they're keeping the discussion to Plo and Mace alone. And then, for the first time, the meaning of the words registers. A high-ranking, visible clone, an equally high-ranked Jedi, despite the fact that Wolf and Cody share roughly the same rank, Cody's gotten a lot more press as the commander of the 212th. He swallows, looking between the two Jedi, and asks,
"You want me to marry General Kuhn?"
Wolf stiffens, eyes narrowing sharply. But Plo just chuckles.
"No," he says. "I would be flattered, of course, but I am simply a council member, and hardly the most senior one at that."
Which can only mean one thing. Mace inclines his head under Cody's incredulous stare, expression wry.
"I plan to resume my position as Master of the Order," he says. "Master Yoda has already agreed. As head of the Council, that should give the marriage a weight even the Chancellor won't test."
He pauses, deliberate, and says,
"Cody, this isn't mandatory. It's not an order. Just a request to consider the proposal. It would be a way to ensure you and your brothers have a future beyond the war, but it's also not a decision to be made lightly. If you wish to refuse, you are more than welcome to do so."
Proposal, Cody thinks. And the phrasing is far more hilarious than it should be. He closes his eyes,
breathing in around the biting edge of hysteria, and wonders what the hell he's supposed to say.
You, if it's not me, who else? He asks. The look Mason Plo trade is quiet, almost resigned.
Another commander, Plo offers. Potentially Commander Colt. Commander Rex is also an option. But this is voluntary, Cody. No one will ever be ordered to agree. And should this fall through, we will keep looking for another way.
But they found this way. And while it sounds wild, they seem to have faith in it.
Cody curls his fingers around his arm, squeezing, and takes a deep breath.
When do you need a decision?
Preferably before your next deployment, Mace says, and smiles wryly. This isn't the sort of thing I want to discuss over a comm channel, even a secure one.
Cody can imagine. It would have to be a secret from everyone, he asks, just to be sure. You're not going to bring the rest of the council in on this?
Mace shakes his head.
Any word getting out could potentially make it back to the Chancellor and the Senate. He says, I trust the members of the Order to have the clone's best interests at heart, but I would rather not risk this whole plot on people's abilities to refrain from gossiping.
Cody snorts, amused despite himself. Given how the troopers gossip, he can just imagine.
Understood. Mason inclines his head, polite, careful.
I'll walk you back to the landing pad, he says. You're welcome to take a speeder for your return trip.
Better than hailing a taxi, Cody thinks wryly. He doesn't know if he could manage right now, given the way his head feels a little like it's spinning.
Thank you, Sir Mace. It's no trouble.
Mace doesn't bother to pick up his discarded outer robe, but he collects his lightsaber, nods to Plo and Wolf, and gets the door for Cody. The hall outside is still empty, quiet, and Cody wonders if Mace is the only one living in this section. There doesn't seem to be a difference between Knight's quarters like Anakin's, Council members' quarters like Obi-Wan's, and Mace's as Master of the Order. A Jedi thing, likely. Cody hasn't met one yet who seems to care about where they sleep, what they wear, or what they eat. Instead of turning back towards the stairs, Mace instead heads down the corridor deeper into the residential areas. The number of people increases as they approach the center of the temple, and several of the knights and a few masters with attendant padawans pause to greet Mace cheerfully enough. Most of them look tired, and several are nursing wounds, but the steady, warm air doesn't change even a little. Cody wonders at the difference from the halls of Kamino, the barracks in the city. Those are grim places, or at the very least, tense or tired. The temple's something else, though. Very much a temple, rather than a home for soldiers, Cody thinks. And it aches a little, looking at the younglings and realizing they'll be Padawans soon, just like Ahsoka, and... Mace pauses to speak to a young Twi'lek boy, dressed like a Padawan, with a braid of leather and beads hanging from his head wrap. He grins at Mace, who raises a cool eyebrow, but answers him quietly. And Cody realizes suddenly, starkly, that he's only ever seen Mace on the battlefield or in meetings about the war. Not like this, stripped down to a white shirt, with a child looking up at him and solemnly considering what he's been told.
Perhaps, Mace is saying, you should be sure Niman is not what you wish to pursue before you attempt to branch out into other forms. Your master has told me you show promise, particularly your use of the Force during combat.
The boy grins shyly. I like it, he admits. But my master said you created your own style, Master Windu.
It was necessary, Mace says. No others quite suited me. But I believe you will find a form that suits you among the seven in existence.
I'll try, the boy agrees, thoughtful, and glances past Mace. Are you Master Windu's commander? He asks. Cody flicks a glance at Mace, but can't read his expression well enough to see whether he wants Cody to sidestep the question. Given Cody's scar, there's no way he can pass as pawns, though. So he says, "Sorry, I'm Commander Cody from the 212th Attack Battalion."
"With Master Kenobi!"
the boy says brightly. "I'm strong in the Unifying Force, just like him!" Cody's never spent more than a few minutes total around Jedi discussing the intricacies of the Force and its variations. He hesitates, not sure how to respond, and Mace smiles a little.
"It is good to be mindful of all possibilities," he tells the boy seriously, "and to always look for the curve of the future. However, be mindful of the present as well, and don't let the future overwhelm you."
"Yes, Master Windu," the boy says, and bows politely. "Thank you." Mace inclines his head in return, then keeps moving, heading for a discreet lift at the bend of the hall. Bemused, Cody nods to the Padawan and follows, trying to categorize the interaction. Not warm, really, but kind in his response. Measured. The best trainers on Kamino would answer questions like that, if with considerably less patience. He doesn't ask, though. Just watches out of the corner of his eye as Mace stands beside him, hands folded behind his back and shoulders straight. Silent, but not hostile by any means. Cody can imagine the quiet drives Anakin to distraction within 5 minutes, though. No wonder he hates being alone with Mace. When the doors open, the lift is right outside the doors of the landing pad. Mace pauses there, keying them open, and then says,
"I should be in residence for the next week, if you want to visit. I'll comm you my entry code so you can access the temple without a guide."
That sounds trusting. It itches faintly between Cody's shoulder blades, the trust required. But Obi-Wan's the same way. It's not a new thing, this exasperation at a Jedi. Cody considers it for a moment, then nods and says,
"Thank you. I'm sorry I can't give you an answer right now."
Mace raises a brow at him, sardonic.
"I will admit, the fact that you're thinking it over is a great relief," he says dryly. "It's good to know certain influences haven't rubbed off on you too thoroughly."
There's only one set of influences he could mean, and Cody grimaces. "The generals give me enough gray hairs as it is," he says ruefully.
"I don't need to give myself any more, sir."
That draws a smile, small and quick, but definitely present, and Mace inclines his head.
"White hair wouldn't suit you," he allows. "Better not to risk it."
"You want to marry me to free my brothers," Cody thinks, and doesn't know how to answer. What the hell even is this? If Mace picks up on the question, he certainly doesn't answer it. Cody can't entirely say he's surprised.